This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Lionel Lau joins us on Open for Business this morning. He's the managing director and co-founder of an online booking platform called Dineout. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of what makes the platform work, I think it's important to define what exactly Dineout is.
Essentially, Dineout is an online ticketing platform for F&B events. It makes it easy for the consumer to see all kinds of F&B events on one platform, and the ability to purchase a seat or a ticket at that event literally with a few clicks of a button.
Yeah, so what's interesting is that Dineout really is a product of our time, in the sense that it's not a restaurant booking platform, it's not a promotion site, it's an events ticketing page that sees dining events as experiences, you know, something that might be in limited supply or only within a certain time. And Dineout, the platform, it lets customers book their spots for those special events that revolve around food. The thing is, Lionel, do restaurants normally have events outside of festive seasons though? I mean, like, how many do they have in a month?
Actually, they may not have events every month, but they will have specific restaurants will always have some kind of events to promote what they do or what they are about. Mm-hmm. And we've expanded, if I may add, beyond just restaurants per se. So we are all about F&B events. So even if it's someone's conducting a cooking class on how to make Nyonya Kueh, or a class on coffee appreciation, a tasting on wines, etc. So all that to us means an event, and it's an F&B event. Mm-hmm. So we have all those listed on our site as well.
Is it only local at the moment?
Yes, it's only local at the moment, predominantly Klang Valley. We have done some events in Penang as well as in JB, but predominantly still Klang Valley.
Okay. How do you filter these events? Like, can anyone list, or do you have like filters when they list?
So pretty much at the moment, we don't allow you to list your own. Mm-hmm. So you have to basically send us all the information, and we actually have to know that you exist and you're real.
You're an actual restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, actual restaurant or actual entity or things like that. So we do take that part seriously at the moment. We don't allow people to do self-listing per se. It's a bit of a pain, but we want to assure that the consumer, when they buy a ticket to something, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Will you have self-listing in the future?
Possibly. Yeah.
Okay.
I suppose as it gets bigger, eventually we will have some form of self-listing.
Okay. Why no self-listing at the moment, other than, you know, making sure that the restaurant actually exists?
I think the key would be to make sure that the experiences are what they say they are.
Okay.
I think also that's key. The other actual very basic reason was, in the beginning, we had a bit of tough time convincing people to list their events on our site. Restaurateurs by nature are very old-fashioned, if I may say so.
Mm-hmm.
So they took quite a bit of convincing.
Are you looking for specific events to be listed? Do you have like a niche?
No, actually we don't. Right now we are just looking for anything to do with F&B.
Okay.
Be it small, large. We've listed events for as cheap as 20 ringgit for a rice cake workshop. Right up to a wine event at a 5-star hotel for over 1,000 ringgit a seat. So literally anything.
What made you realize that there was a gap in the market for something like this? Like, what made you see dining events as experiences and then go like, you know, maybe you can curate all of these things on like a single platform?
Well, okay. The first thing was dining events, I think, is nothing new. I think this was something that the restaurants have been doing for the longest time. It was the only way most restaurants market what they have, what's special about restaurants. And I realized one day, literally one day, waking up looking at a flyer that someone had sent me from a restaurant, and I realized that, why can't I click a button and buy a ticket?
Mm-hmm.
It was an electronic flyer, obviously, today. but it made no difference. It was, it could just as well been 20 years ago, a paper flyer that came via a fax machine. You know, I couldn't do anything with it. So I had to wait for the restaurant to open. I had to call someone to make a booking and hope that, that someone on the other line actually knew what I was talking about, because many a times they send out these flyers and the staff don't know about it. So it, I said, this is crazy in this day and age, right? We can literally buy anything with a few clicks of a button.
Yeah.
So why couldn't we do this? So that I identified, and I actually spoke to a few restaurateurs, and they say, you know, it's we don't have a payment platform, and all that. So I said, why isn't there one where they could list their events and allow people to purchase? So that's when I realized that there was a gap, all right? And then as we moved on, we realized that they had more of a problem. They didn't even have a place where they could list these events so that people could see where they what events was happening around town. So people basically, the consumers don't know that there are things happening, and the restaurants have no way of reaching them. They were still printing flyers and displaying them in their own restaurants, hoping that whenever someone comes into their restaurant, we'll see that this event is happening in 2 weeks' time. Mm. It was crazy.
Because you're speaking to people who already know about your restaurant.
Yes. And you're not reaching out to the people who don't know your place.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Which is why I guess people put their pamphlets on like car windshields and stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. But that's not where the consumers are today, right? Mm. They're in cyberspace. They're in social media. They're all in all these places. This restaurant, some of them will have a Facebook page or something. But even then, they are not good at it.
Yeah,
99.9%, I dare say, of restaurants aren't good at that, because they're good at what they do in the restaurant, the service, the food. That's what they're focused on. And that's where the real gap I see.
Technology.
Yep. So we didn't create any new technology, right? We basically created a platform where they could list their events and make payment via a payment gateway, which brings me to a whole new other problem with payment gateways, which wasn't the easiest thing to do. Because when I told people I wanted a ticketing platform and for F&B events, no one knew what I was talking about. None of the banks anyway. So to make it easy, the idea was to make it easy, for consumers to be able to see all the events and be able to purchase. Is really that basic.
So Dynot doesn't focus on food per se, we've established that, but events that revolve around food.
Yeah.
The way they're branded is they are called experiences, so yeah. Dining experiences.
Yeah.
So is that what the F&B industry is leaning towards, or is it, is it a market sentiment, or is it a marketing approach on your end?
Actually, it is what the F&B industry have always been doing. Using events as an experience, because dining is about an experience. We're not talking about your neighborhood deli or kopitiam where you go in there to get your basic breakfast or lunch or dinner. So when you do intend to go out, you go out for an experience. I always tell people, no one goes to a restaurant to eat. Mm. People go to a restaurant to dine. And that's when the experience is, even your basic experience, just going out with your buddies, going out with your date or your wife, your husband, you are going to, for an experience. It's not just to eat. I can just cook instant noodles and eat at home.
Yeah.
So dining has always been about an experience. And when they have an event, it just makes that experience all the better. Now, experiential events is really caught on in the last few years, if they, the terminology, right? All brands are jumping on that. It's nothing new now already, but yes, it's still going. I mean, even your radio station does experiential things when you do off-site events.
Yeah, yeah, we
right?
do.
It's all about engaging. People want that engagement, and that's what a dining event is. Yeah, so that's what I see. And it's just the gap that the restaurants have no way of reaching the consumer and the consumer of finding out what's happening in the restaurant.
Do you think most restaurants haven't caught up to that sentiment yet?
I feel a lot of them are in a bit of a denial, frankly. Because they just, again, like I say, they just focus on cooking and, service measures. they haven't adapted to the market sentiments and the technology, etc. Let me give you an example, right?
Yeah.
Restaurants today still talk to me about blogs. And I don't mean to slag the bloggers,
mm-hmm.
but blogs how many years ago?
Yeah. It's not a modern word anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. And today, people mostly don't follow blogs.
Yeah.
They look at social media. They look at engaging interaction stuff. So it's a very different. In the old days, the blog was the engagement, was the interaction. Right. The guy was telling you what they experienced at that restaurant. But today, it's no longer that way. So the people have moved while the restaurants are stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They're still talking to me about blogs, and I'm like, hey guys, you know, you really have to move, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it went from blogs to influencers talking about
Correct.
Restaurants and then like rating systems.
Yes.
And now it's just like one tweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's completely changed, right? And so that's where I think the restaurants have to wake up. But you know what? It's not just Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
I see this in Singapore. I see this in Hong Kong. I see this in Thailand. It's almost universal. And this is the amazing thing that it's not the age, but I suppose the people in that industry, that they are, how should I say, more traditional, more conservative in their approach. Of course, there are people who adapt very quickly, but majority don't.
They don't.
Yeah.
Our guest this morning is Lionel Lau, co-founder of DineOut, which is an online booking platform that lets you secure a spot at special dining events and experiences, as well as other events like workshops and classes. Open for Business will be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'm joined today by Lionel Lau. He's the co-founder and managing director of DineOut. And we're talking about food, we're talking about trends, restaurants, and what it takes to be an F&B outlet in today's tech-driven landscape. What do you think caused that change, though? Like, why do people opt for experiences instead of just, like, you know, regular dining? Like, is it food delivery services? You know, like, people don't have to come out of their homes anymore?
Yeah. So when you talk about that, that's eating. That's not an experience.
Yeah.
Getting the food delivered to your doorstep, sitting in front of your laptop, that's just eating.
Yeah.
And that's not an experience.
You just need to live.
Yeah. So that's not an experience. And I think more and more, as you see people are changing their whole lifestyle, I think they're starting to realize that. And again, like I say, food experiences are not new. They've just been repackaged, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Right? And marketed in a better way. And right now, our guys just need to adapt and adopt this sort of technology
yeah.
and this sort of approach to it.
Yeah. So basically, you're an advocate for restaurants and F&B players, like organizing events as well, like as you said, to connect with their customers so
yeah.
that you say there's better engagement with their customers when they have experiences, right? So do you think this should be something that they should actively do more moving forward?
Oh, for sure. I'll give you a very personal example.
Okay.
I dated my ex-girlfriend, my wife now, almost entirely through F&B events.
Mm.
It's very simple. You know, we both like wine. We both like dining. And when you go for an event, number one, you know exactly how much you're paying for. Okay. It's usually the food and the drink is included.
Mm-hmm.
There's no surprises. Usually you will meet some interesting people who are like-minded attending that event. It's usually hosted one way, shape or form. So if there's some awkward silences, there's always listening to someone else talk. It was perfect.
Mm.
And like I said, it's, you don't have to choose the menu, da, 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 da. It was perfect. And I think that was the whole fun about it. And I still do go for a lot of such events personally, and I enjoy them. And it gives me a good insight onto what the restaurant is capable of, and that, hey, I might feel like going there on a normal day, but experiences trump everything. you know.
Okay, so let's say, since you've been to so many events, you just mentioned, let's assume like this is a guide for F&B players who are interested in having more events or having better events, a guide by Lionel for the F&B players. So what are the best kind of events that you've been to? Like how are they sort of, how are they sort of curated? How are they sort of organized?
So usually, I think the best ones, you have to have a start with a theme, right? Whether it is a particular seasonal produce, or you have a guest chef, or you say decided, oh, it's, I don't know, my birthday, so I want to do a birthday themed dinner, mm-hmm. you know, and you go along that way. Or you want to do a retro 80s themed dinner. You do a thematic. Number one, the theme is important, mm-hmm. because then it makes sense and it makes it interesting. Then, of course, if you have partners, i.e. the food producers, beverage suppliers, etc., rope them in. And then it becomes, like I say, a very interesting event. If you can get a host, even better, because mm-hmm. someone talking and explaining to people what that concept or that theme is. If your chef can do it, great. You know, if not, get a host, your maitre d', then it makes it. People, when people hear it and they eat it and they drink it, then it clicks.
Mm.
That makes it memorable. And when people have a good time, they will always remember you.
Okay, so you've got like taste and sight and sound, yeah, and
exactly.
everything. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So coming to Dine Out for a while, what kind of trends are you seeing on Dine Out when it comes to the bookings itself?
Okay, definitely mobile. I think many people have spoken on your shows talking about the mobile trends, right?
Yeah.
It's about purchases are about 90% via mobile. Like again, like I say, from something as cheap as a $20 ticket to a $1,000 ticket, no qualms. People are using mobile to purchase. Yes, definitely using mobile to even view our site and select events as well.
Mm-hmm.
So mobile is definitely the trend. Social media as well. We find that using social media to reach out to the consumers has been very, very effective. Again, people want to engage, ask questions, etc., etc. So it's I see those two trends for sure. Anyone who's not doing it on social media, or any restaurateur that's not on it, or at least getting someone to help them with it, they're really missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely mobile.
Definitely mobile. What kind of events have like the highest success rates in terms of, you know, like ticket sales?
So far, I would say generally the wine dinners that we've had and some whiskey tastings have been very, very popular. Although the fastest selling event was the Japanese rice cake workshop. This cafe, they specialize in Japanese tea,
mm-hmm.
and they ran classes or teaching people how to make this Japanese rice cake, and it was really, really popular. It sold out very, very quickly. Few days in a row, they had the workshops, and it was really, really popular. And we noticed also Japanese food seems to be very popular.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people either purchase tickets to Japanese food events or like to visit the site whenever they see a Japanese restaurant having an event.
You mentioned that mostly mobile. I noticed you don't have an app yet, though. Like, but your content looks like it was, you know, like made for an app, you know. So why the decision to stick to like browser-based booking?
Definitely something along the lines, something planned for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we don't see the necessity of it, frankly.
Okay.
I find that we are not that kind of platform that you requires you to be able to access it via an app constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the kind of platform that when you decide that, oh, I want to go out this weekend, or I want to see what's happening next week, I want to go on it and I'll have a look, you know. So we don't see the urgent need for it right now. Later on, I suppose, as we gather more users, we will be able to filter and push information to you, events that you may like to have based on your past purchases, etc., etc. I think that's when an app would definitely come in handy.
Would be useful, yeah. Right? Do you have a target market? You know, like when it comes to the restaurants that list the events, like do you, are you aiming for like a specific niche?
I would say definitely young urban professionals, people looking for experiences. Restaurants, it can be anyone, but of course, it doesn't make sense for those places that are what I would call your neighborhood makan shops. You know, that doesn't quite make sense for them to have events because their business model is different.
Mm.
So any kind of restaurant, cafe that is more a destination, why would you go to that restaurant or that cafe, etc.? Yep. They would be our target markets for sure. And especially anyone who's doing or hosting events are also our target market. Instance, a lot of brand companies that are food and beverage related, they try to hold events,
mm-hmm.
Work with partner restaurants or etc. And they have a trouble selling events,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Usually they depend on the restaurant, which then repeats that whole cycle of how do they market it.
Mm,
and they can come to us and we can help them a lot with that.
How do you help them?
So apart from just using our platform, we also have a package where we will help you market your events, where we will do additional for you, additional emails, additional social media advertising, specifically to push your event. It makes it interesting for people to come to us because, again, like I say, we have a plethora of events. If you do it on your own, it's a little bit more difficult. You're not leveraging. Your database will probably be smaller than ours. So as we grow, we offer that service.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a marketing company per se, but basically we're just giving the restaurants a choice. Right. One, you can just use our platform purely as a payment transaction. Two, we give you a little bit more service, a little bit more
boost,
yeah, so to speak, for a little bit more fee.
Okay, okay. We need to take a quick break for some messages, but Lionel Lau will be back with more about Dineout, BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Lionel Lau is our guest on the show this morning. He is the managing director of Dineout, which is an online booking platform that showcases special dining events and experiences all around the country. Okay, so the big question, the most important question, how does Dineout make money? Because you have the merchant, the customer, and yourself as a platform. Yeah. So where's your cut in all this?
So we take a transactional fee. So we don't charge anything upfront from the restaurants. Seriously, restaurants, they should list their events on my site. It's a no-brainer.
Mm.
Even if I don't sell a single ticket for you, you have gained more exposure via our site, via what we do, than you would have on your own. Even if I don't sell a single ticket and it costs you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we take a transaction fee every time we sell a ticket. That's it.
Since you mentioned exposure, what kind of exposure is that? Like how many monthly users? You know, how many eyes are on that?
So we have at the moment close to 5,000 users registered on our site.
Nice.
We have over 10,000 followers on our social media. Every time we do some boosting ads on our social media, we generally get anywhere from 35 to 50,000 reach. So it's quite big for something. It's just 6 months old. And I can only see it growing bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, and it costs you nothing when you list an event. Nothing at all.
Completely FOC.
Completely FOC. As a hotelier pointed out to me, oh, my name will still be out there and it cost me nothing. I said, yep.
I mean, like, if this was 10 years ago, people just go, like, do it for the SEO.
Exactly.
You know, you just get on Google's search pages or something, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you leverage on technology a lot, obviously, to connect businesses and their customers. You give them better reach. We've said that, you know, we just mentioned SEO and stuff. Do you think this is the undisputed way of the future? Like, companies, F&B players will have to embrace technology or just face out?
I think they have to embrace technology. Of course, it may not be the same thing in the future. Mm-hmm. The world changes so quickly.
Yeah.
But definitely they have to embrace it. I don't think we can turn back the clock unless someone turns off the big button and turns off the internet, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. So we will have to, and they will have to embrace it. Because it is the way of the future. In the old days, you know, you get someone to review your event. This was a very frustrating thing. Maybe even less than 20 years ago. The restaurants will actually invite someone to come and review the event, which I always find odd. Because the story would come out in the media after the event.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'll be reading it and I'll be like, but the event is finished.
What's the point? Yeah.
What did that do? Mm-hmm. You know, it just made me frustrated that I didn't know there was such an event.
That you were left out of the event. Yeah,
exactly. You know, so today this is a way for you to let people know there is an event and this is the event and this is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that should be the way.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that they have to adopt it.
Do you compete with anyone? Like it's such a niche space.
Definitely. I think right now there is no other site like ours right now. There are booking sites that book their normal booking. Sometimes they will try and do the event thing on it as well, but they don't quite function as well, if I may say so, because right now the way those reservation sites work, they take a small fee. Right, they don't charge you for the entire event.
Mm-hmm.
Where ours is that the consumer has to pay for the entire event. It guarantees that there's no such thing as a no show, because this was also a perennial problem. Restaurants will have people booking the event and have last minute no shows.
Mm.
And I dare challenge any restaurant who tells me otherwise, because 100% of the events I've been to, I've always seen no shows.
There's always a dropout.
And you lose money for what? It doesn't make sense, right? You've lost the opportunity. Someone can't come because you say you're fully booked. And people, I mean, whether intentional or otherwise, you get dropouts. So ours make you pay for the whole event and it allows you to tell people there is this event in the first place. At the moment, I don't see anyone doing that.
What's your biggest challenge at the moment, like business-wise?
Actually, our biggest challenge is the restaurant's adoption.
Okay.
Like I say, they are not comparing apples and apples, oranges and oranges. They still, a lot of them compare us to reservation sites. Some of them just outright, like I frankly believe they're in denial. They tell us that, oh no, you know, we can market it ourselves and all that. It's very funny. You speak to one partner and they say, oh no, no problem. You know, our events are 100%. And then you speak to the other partner and the other partner says, no, we always have dropouts, you know. So they're in a bit of a denial, I find, you know. They feel that, oh, why should I pay you a fee? And I say, look, it's a transaction fee only upon success. Which part of you that doesn't understand that, right?
Yeah.
I am giving you something that unless I succeed, you don't have to pay. Right, and you get all the benefits of the exposure. Yet you go to, again, I don't mean to slag my fellow friends who are bloggers, yet you will go and spend money on a blog, give money to them, or even when you buy them a meal with money, and you get no guarantee returns.
Yeah.
Or even some of those media sites, again, there is no guarantee return. You spend money with them, and you get no guaranteed returns. It's odd. It's really odd that they compare us to things like that. And this is the frustrating part. This is the challenges that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad to say that it's slowly changing. We are getting more and more traction. But I wish it would be faster, but it is what it is.
What are you doing to sort of fix it or to convince them that they should list on Dynot?
We constantly try and improve our offerings and constantly try and show them why it makes sense to work with us. We're not saying that you should neglect the rest, but hey, you should consider us as well.
Yeah. Okay, last question, expansion. So what do you have planned for Dynot in the next few years?
Very interesting. In fact, I just came from a meeting this morning to talk to a team of developers that we hope to make our site future-proof, add in more features, rewards, rebates, things like that, and make it actually scalable to an international level. I would like to take this beyond Malaysian shores. Like I said earlier, I see the same problem happening in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Malaysia would be where I need to make sure that we are solid. Yeah, so that's the whole intention. And an app, probably in the future, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
App, maybe even a super app.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, dineout.com, that's dineout.com is where you can find Lionel's dining experience ticket booking platform. Also, you can download this podcast if you miss any part of this show on the BFM website, which is bfm.my, or the BFM app, or you can look us up on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business with Lionel Lau, co-founder of Dineout, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.